Greetings, friends, and welcome to the Beach Church Podcast. This is the podcast for Sunday, November 24th, the year of our Lord, 2024. And this is the 27th Sunday after Pentecost. And it is also Christ the King Sunday. We celebrate this final Sunday in our liturgical calendar by focusing our minds on what it means that Jesus is Lord of all. Again, it is a joy to welcome you here to the podcast, and let's jump right in to our practice. Let's begin by giving thanks to God, being in a spirit and a mind in a posture of thanksgiving. So we will celebrate the gift of life by taking in the breath of life. Breathe in and hold on to that breath and let it go. And take in another one, the gift of life. Hold on to it, savor it. And as you let it go, and as you return to your regular pattern of breathing, call to mind those things for which you are most thankful for. The people, the places, the opportunities, the situations. Everything that lights you up inside and fills you with a spirit of gratitude. Call those things into your heart and into your mind. Extra appropriate as we prepare in our country for this National Day of Thanksgiving coming up on Thursday. And as you call these things to mind, perhaps turn your face toward the heavens, look upward, put your arms out, continue to breathe. Thank you, God, for every good and perfect gift that comes from your hands. And in this posture, in this spirit, let's begin together in worship. Let's join together in the opening prayer as printed in your digital bulletin. You can find that bulletin. Just start on the line where you found today's podcast. Go to the left, and then on that left margin, just below the line, you'll see a tab that says Sermon Notes. Click in there, and the bulletin will come up for you. Let's begin. Shepherd of Israel, hear our prayer. As your Son heard the plea of the criminal crucified with him, gather into Christ's holy reign the broken, the sorrowing, and the sinner, that all may know wholeness, joy, and forgiveness. Amen. Friends, our gospel reading today comes from the Gospel of John in the 18th chapter, verses 33 through 37. Then Pilate entered the headquarters again, summoned Jesus, and asked him, "Are you the King of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Do you ask this on your own, or did others tell you about me?" Pilate replied, "I am not a Jew, am I? Your own nation and the chief priests have handed you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom does not belong to this world. If my kingdom belonged to this world, my followers would be fighting to keep me from being handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not from here." Pilate asked him, "So you are a king?" Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." This is the word of God for the people of God, and we give thanks to God for it. Let's join together in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for the gift of your word, alive and living among us, this word of truth. A word of truth that we pray will save us from distraction and misinterpretation. A word of truth that you have for each and every one of us. A word of truth that you have for your church, your people, your body of Christ in the world. Help us to hear, to truly hear this, your good word. We ask this in your holy name and we say, Amen. Friends, I am just thrilled to be able to share a reflection on this short passage of Scripture on this Christ the King Sunday. And we look at this text from the 18th chapter of John, verses that you're probably very familiar with, that you might have heard on Palm Passion Sunday or a Good Friday or a Maundy Thursday, these stories of Jesus before Pilate. Giving and or not giving an accounting of himself. Pilate, who is clearly confused as to why Jesus is standing before him to begin with. He tries to get some clarity from Jesus himself here in verse 33. He asks him, "Are you the King of the Jews?" And Jesus answered, "Did you ask this on your own, or did others tell you about me?" And Pilate just looks at him and says, I'm not a Jew, am I? Your own nation and the chief priests have handed you over to me. Help me out here, Jesus. What exactly have you done?" And Jesus gives him what feels like a cryptic explanation of what he has done. "My kingdom does not belong to this world. If my kingdom belonged to this world, my followers would be fighting to keep me from being handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not from here." Pilate takes that in. Here he is, sitting across from Jesus, contemplating. So you are a king. And Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this I was born, and for this I came into the world," and this is the part I want us to hang on to today. At least focus on closely. "I came into the world to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." And there's a line that the lectionary leaves off, but I think it's really important for us to add back on. Pilate asked him, "What is truth?" What is truth? Especially in the midst of the chaos and the anger and the rage and some of these things that are swirling around Pilate that don't make any sense, that can't be true to his Roman understanding of what is true. He's trying really to bring some sense to all of these proceedings, trying to not turn Jesus over to be killed. But he eventually gets caught up in the hysteria and the rage and tries to wash his hands of the whole situation. Christ the King Sunday, and we come to Jesus as the King of Truth. And even beyond the King of Truth, he is truth. What is truth? Well, I suppose to answer that question, your homework will be start at the beginning of John's Gospel and read the whole thing over again and look. Look for what truth looks like. What does it mean for a king to be not of this world? Which might lead us to 1 Samuel. This reading from 1 Samuel. "So Samuel told all the words of the Lord to the people who were asking for a king from him. He said," this is Samuel coming to the people who have said, essentially, "We want a king just like our neighbors. We want to be structured that way." And it's a problem. Samuel goes back and forth. The prophet Samuel goes back and forth with God. They want a king. I know you don't want them to have a king. And finally, God relents and says, "Well, give the people what they want." And so now we have these words from God. He said, "These will be the ways of the king who will reign over you. He will take your sons and appoint them to his chariots and to be his horsemen and to run before his chariots. And he will appoint for himself commanders of thousands and commanders of fifties, and some to plow his ground and to reap his harvest and to make his implements of war and the equipment of his chariots. He will take your daughters to be perfumers and cooks and bakers, and he will take the best of your fields and vineyards and olive orchards and give them to his servants. He will take the tenth of your grain and of your vineyards and give it to his officers and to his servants. He will take your male servants and female servants and the best of your young men and your donkeys and put them to his work. He will take the tenth of your flocks, and you shall be his slaves. And this prophecy comes to pass. Saul to David, and on, the kings of Israel, and the kings of the world for that matter, live out this pattern. And then one comes, as we will celebrate soon, one comes, born of a virgin, sinless, who lives a life of absolute truth, Jesus, who does not take, but gives, does not seek to be served, but serves. This is our King. This is the one who is not like this world. I am not of this world. If I was, it would be like every other king, and there'd be a battle going on out front. But I come from the place of absolute truth. I come as the living embodiment of the word and the law, which are all expressions of divine truth. What is true? Pilate, in his wisdom and worldly knowledge, looks at the situation that's before him, and the whole thing makes no sense to him at all, no logical sense, but I suppose it makes worldly sense. The mob and the momentum of the mob, expectations of leaders that aren't met, and a mob that turns on those leaders. That the very best of who we can be gets flipped around and becomes vile and ugly. This is Jesus, who lives a life dedicated to the truth. And there are those that can see it. And most often, it's people with nothing to lose. It's people who have been despised and rejected by the world, passed over, taken from, taken advantage of, enslaved. Good and trusting people, afflicted people, cheated by the world, and especially those who pretend or have deceived themselves into believing that they come in the name of truth. But what they serve is self. Service to their egos or their narcissistic tendencies. Lives that are all about self-preservation and self-aggrandizement. Jesus stands for none of it, and they receive it as judgment. And rather than embracing that truth and learning to walk into it, here we are in this story where they attempt to kill it. But we know that they cannot kill it. The truth never dies. Self-sacrificing love never dies. True and divine beauty is always radiant. This is our God. Jesus is our King. We've talked a lot about earthly power. Bill did it brilliantly last week. In the last few lectionary passages in Mark have given us a glimpse as to this relationship with power and what it means to follow in the way of Jesus. And so my encouragement to you is what does it mean for the church to say and for you to say, Jesus is Lord? And specifically, Jesus is Lord of your life. What truth does he point to? And living in his truth, where are those areas that his truth might make you feel a little uneasy with certain things in your life? Truth that needs to be spoken. Things that are damaging you and your relationships that need to be remedied and brought into the light of truth, the healing light of truth, so that you would come to know. It's the whole purpose for the gospel. I write all these things so that you would come to know that Jesus is Lord. Lord of a truth that can be like a balm. Lord of a truth that can be like a searing hot light. But always a God of forgiveness and grace, a King of love that again radiates from this truth that he embodies. A truth that brings with it consequences, a truth that necessitates change. A truth that necessitates risk, sometimes to risk everything as we see here, to come in a way that is different than the world lives, that trades in a different currency, that operates in an economy that is divine, an economy of mutual blessing, of humble truth-telling, and grace and mercy and kindness. This is our King. There is no party affiliation necessary. There is no legislation or policy required. There is only one thing: to come humbly before the throne of truth and grace and open your hands and turn out your pockets and confess, Lord, you are the King of my life. You are the Creator, the Sustainer, and the Redeemer of all things. And I come humbly before you, and I seek to walk in your way and to be a humble and faithful servant in your kingdom. It will literally change your life forever. So as we move toward our national celebration of Thanksgiving, perhaps today, as you reread John's gospel, make a list of those things for which you are most truly thankful for. To thank God for them first, the people, places, situations, things, opportunities, the gift of enough. To thank Christ the King for all of it. And next Sunday, we begin this season of Advent. We start our liturgical calendar all over again because we keep a calendar that is different than the rest of the world. Our liturgical calendar reminds us of who we are, not where we need to go or what's coming up. Our liturgical calendar reminds us of who we are in relationship to God and to one another as a church. I've gone on. I told you I was fired up. I've gone on too long. I pray that you will continue to celebrate this gift. Ask this question comes out of Pilate's mouth, but it is a good spiritual development question for all of us. What is truth? And I'll put a hyphen on that. And how does Jesus embody that truth and encourage us to walk in its way? And I know that as you explore those questions, you will find rich, good news, to which we can all say, Amen. God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we call out to you and we pray. We call to you, God, and we confess. We all too often listen to the rulers of this world, follow in their ways, confuse their truth for your truth. So in this moment, God, we confess our sin, the ways that we haven't been true to you. And you've promised through your word that when we come to you, we confess our sin, that we receive forgiveness from you. And so we claim that. We claim the promise of that forgiveness. And we turn to you with the petitions of our hearts. God, we pray for this, your good world, in all of its beauty and splendor. And there are people that have risen to positions of influence and power because you have allowed it. Many, many, many of them choose to walk in their own way and abide by the rules of this world. And we pray, God, reach down and anoint them with your healing. Speak to their hearts for such a time as this, O God. Lift up men and women of good faith and good courage. Lift them up so that they could use the power you've granted them for your grace and your peace and your truth. And for those of us, O God, who find that we're in a much more limited place of power and influence, or maybe we find ourselves in a position where we don't feel like we have any of those things, meet us here, we pray. Comfort us, encourage us, breathe your truth into our hearts so that we could receive it like a healing balm, and then take it out into the world as a gift. God, as our nation prepares for a national day of thanksgiving, may it truly be a national day of thanksgiving, that we as a people would humble ourselves and bow our heads and offer prayers of thanksgiving to you, O God, who provides us with every good and perfect gift. And finally, God, we ask that you'd consider our prayer lists. You know, these things that we tend to hold close to our hearts. Maybe we write them down. We don't share them with too many people, if we share them at all. But here we make a quiet moment to share our hearts with you and trust that you will consider the prayers of our hearts and offer us your answers. We break our silence. We thank you, God, for the gifts of peace and quiet. We call to you. We hope that you will hear us as we join together. We offer you a prayer that has been handed down to us as a gift. First, Jesus offered it to his disciples, and today we say it together. Hear us, O God, as we say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. So, my dear friends, as we prepare to go our separate ways, I pray we will all do so with a burning question in our hearts. What is truth? Where can I find it? And that we will seek those answers at the guidance and at the direction of our good God, the one that we know in three persons. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, who blesses us, anoints us with truth, and bids us peace. Go in peace. Amen.